You can have a private contractor fix your sidewalk and then have the inspector come back and see if you're compliant. You can have a contractor who is certified by the city to do the work in accordance with the city requirements, and that's fine. Or you can ignore the citation, the city comes out, fixes it, and they send you a bill or put a lien on your taxes. So those are your options in New York City. And I do not see why we cannot, in a 2-square-mile radius, implement, just do code enforcement, have property owners responsible for maintaining their properties. I understand that we don't own the sidewalks, but this is a standard that is applied in many municipalities, and I do not see why we cannot do it here. An issue that has been raised in a conversation that I had with Tom is that potentially this might be a financial burden on some property owners who may not be able to afford to fix their sidewalks and so forth. But my experience of canvassing in some of the neighborhoods, some of the worst sidewalks are actually on Columbia and State. And most of the people that I have talked to on those streets where I was dealing with really bad sidewalks were actually renting. And so their landlords can and should be held accountable for maintaining the sidewalks in front of their properties. And so my personal preference is that we apply our code, we have a code, we enforce it, and we give people an opportunity to fix what they need to fix, and that's that. That's my personal opinion.
So if I can just give a little bit more background.
Please don't.
I do agree with you, Margaret, in that regard, but we do have a code. Why are we in this situation with our sidewalks? Obviously, there's a breakdown and something's not working. And I think one of the issues is that once there is something in writing, there is a liability issue now on the city to either get something done, or there's going to be liability on the city. If once that ticket is written, there's certain liabilities now the city is obligated if there's a lawsuit. So I think that if there's a time frame for, and I would love to know, what is the current, when was the last time, and maybe, I know Peter's on the line, when was the last time it was implemented from start to finish of the code was being implemented? Because my understanding is there's a breakdown with the court system, there's a breakdown in a lot of things once this ticket is issued. So, it's very complicated, it's convoluted. That's why I think with the Ithaca plan, there was a different formula and different direction of, enforcement is still there. However, there's a different method of paying for unilaterally in uniform way where every block is being done at the same time, conformity. So there's no one's higher than the other and this and that. So
But Dominic, in what I described about the New York City plan is that there are rules, there are guidelines about what the sidewalk should be. If you go with a private contractor, then the city's going to inspect and make sure that what the contractor did was in compliance. Or you can go with a contractor that the city has approved because they know what it's supposed to be. Or you can ignore them and the city will do it.
I'm not talking as much as compliant. I'm talking about if you were going to do your sidewalk this year and your neighbor did it next year, there might be an issue of settling and there still might be an issue with the two timeframes of the sidewalks. So that's what I meant by uniform.
Yeah, so also just from the point of view of when was this last enforced, I moved here in 2010. I live on a corner. There were a couple of areas of sidewalk that I thought were deficient, and I had concrete poured and I repaired various portions of my sidewalk. At no point have I ever been issued a ticket for anything relating to my sidewalk. I am adjacent to a sidewalk from, it's on 5th Street to Warren, It is adjacent to a field owned by Galvan. I have seen people fall multiple times on that sidewalk. It is absolutely lethal. It has been lethal for the 12 years I have lived here. I am not aware of anybody ever getting a citation for that sidewalk. And I do not understand why the city cannot look at things, issue citations, and say, this is not okay. I don't get it, because as a, you know, nobody told me to fix my sidewalk. I just looked at it and said, that looks dangerous. I'm going to have a contractor come in and pour concrete because I don't want somebody falling. Right. And so I did.
In my opinion, and Vicky, then I'll go to you. In my opinion, but things like that, Margaret, go to a bigger issue, right? Which is just that people don't familiarize themselves with the code, right? Like, I live in an HOA, right? Like, the first thing that you do when you move into a home up here is at closing, you have the rules that you have to read through and you abide by. And, you know, it's not the same nature as like when you move to a city, even though like you are essentially by purchasing or moving into a certain municipality, agreeing to the rules by which said municipality wants to regulate and legislate itself. But this is not like the upkeep of the sidewalk thing, I think, has just been overlooked for so long that it has fallen to the back burner and people aren't aware of it. Vicky.
Yes, what I want to say is that I spoke to a lot of people, a lot of residents. The code is not even known to people. People right. actually are telling me, oh, nobody ever told me. Nobody was hurt themselves in my sidewalk. Why do I need to fix it? So I think what we need to do is with the next water bill, or at least maybe not next, the following one, there should be a letter stating the code, and then giving them a year to fix it.
I think that's an excellent point.
And we have to really move on this. And then after that, what we need to do is figure out how to do it. I mean, how to penalize people. I am sympathetic of people that don't have the means, for sure. But after walking around and figuring out who lives where, most of them are rentals. The ones that they're deteriorated are rentals, as Margaret said. And we really have to be strict to landlords, and they shouldn't be just collecting the rent and not taking care of the property. That's, you know, that's not okay. So I really feel it's not tough love. It's really we have to show to people that they have responsibility on their buildings, period.
And Vicky, I think what you just said echoes what Ryan was saying about the HOA. When you're in a neighborhood where there's an HOA, you're handed the rules. But when I bought my house, nobody handed me the rules. But my next door neighbor, who'd lived here for 50 years, said, hey, you know, you are responsible for that sidewalk. You do know that. And you need to fix it. And so
exactly. You don't even need the sidewalks. So.
Yeah. And so like, I was saying, oh, thank you for telling me that. I had no idea.
Yeah.
So I hired a contractor and fixed the pieces that were deficient.
Right. So really quick, Crystal, go ahead, Dominic. I'm sorry.
I think, I mean, I like Vicky's idea about the letter, but I think that first thing is that, you know, the letter needs to say it's transferable. You know, if you sell your property, it's not going to extend. But I think that depending on the condition of your property, you need to say, depending on your condition, because we're going to start in 3 months issuing tickets if they're, you know, at a certain level, because in a year, if, you know, somebody's property could be so bad that in a year, a lot of things happen. So I think there should be something identifying in the letter that if by chance your property is identified as, you know, an issue, then there's time frames can be shorter than a year, because I mean, if their property is in terrible shape.
I would agree with that in normal circumstances, but because of COVID, we are having such a shortage of labor that it is hard to source, you know, people labor to do it. So I really feel we may have to be more lenient on that and make it a year, my opinion.
Right. Crystal, Crystal Peck, I don't know if Tom had shared with you. I'd actually updated a proposed resolution. I think it was like in December of last year. Shared that? Because Peter Bujano, go ahead, Tom.
No, because your resolution involved a switch in power, and that would
right. No, I was just getting to that, Tom. So, and I would say Peter Bujano holds the pen to be able to to do that. And I know that that was the one change that we were suggesting, or I was suggesting, which was, do we go from the commissioner to the superintendent to be able to get these letters out? But within that, I also changed the time frame suggestively, because it's 30 or 60 days upon receipt of the letter. And to Vicky's point, you can't get a contractor to come in and fix your toilet in, you know, a 24-hour period, let alone a month. I mean, it's, people are so backed up because of the supply chain that effectively altering the time frame to say it is a year from the issuance. The other element, of course, there is that, Dominic, you brought this up, it's the liability with the city, right? If we know about this and we're not notifying the homeowners, technically the city, and Crystal, I'll look to you on this, the city holds the liability to do the informing of the homeowner who actually owns the responsibility of the sidewalk.
Sorry, Ryan, we have code on the books that says that homeowners are responsible for maintenance of their sidewalks. So whether the city tells me or does not tell me that my sidewalk is deficient, I am responsible for my sidewalk.
Yes, no, Margaret.
So the city is going to send me a notification saying, hey, there's issues with your sidewalk, you need to fix it and give me some time frame to fix it. But I am actually responsible for my sidewalk, whether the city tells me or not.
No, understood. But it is a matter of code enforcement and the lax effect of the city not doing the code.
Understood.
That is where then it is a negligence on the side of the city.
I agree. The city has not been, they've been ignoring enforcing the code.
That would be something we could come to terms on here today, is that, are we in agreement that it's a citywide letter to put people on notice to say, like, look, it's just to everybody as a reminder. And
I think that's a good idea. Actually, Ryan, I think that's a really good idea. Investigating or doing an evaluation, I think actually it's a good idea to send a notice out to everybody, as Vicky is saying, with the water notices saying, hey, you know, here's some code and you need to look at your sidewalk and you need to determine whether or not you think there's any deficiencies. And talk to the city about this, because you are, in fact, responsible for your sidewalk.
Exactly.
I think that's a very good idea.
So I think the path forward would be, oh, hold on. Yeah, I've got a Robin McKay.
Yeah, actually, I'm Stuart Farmery. So we bought our building about four or 5 years ago. Okay. And that was one of the first things I knew I had to do, the sidewalk. It's the contractors, getting a contractor.
Right, it's difficult.
It's impossible. Nobody wanted to touch it, to be honest with you. And I like that idea that I thought was being kind of surfaced, of maybe doing it a block at a time, of like the city maybe overseeing it and individuals kicking in to do a block at a time, whereby, you know, everybody feels safer, where the city is kind of leading. The contractor rather than each individual. And as you say, trying to match up one bit of sidewalk to the next is definitely going to be fun as well.
It definitely has its benefits. And I know what Hillary Hillman is going to say too, about making sure that there's an opportunity to build in requisite drainage capabilities to help with the combined sewer and stormwater runoff. Hillary, did I nail it? You're on mute.
You nailed it. There were a couple of other things that I wanted to put up for consideration, if it's my time to speak.
Please, yes, go ahead.
Okay, I'll make it quick. One, just for the committee to consider, some of the reasons to consider the city taking charge of this is, like Dominic had mentioned, there's a uniformity of the, and I think that is really important. We can take into consideration stormwater runoff and rethink how things should be done, if it's being done in a holistic sort of way. Stormwater runoff is really an important thing to address. We can put in bioswales to capture stormwater and actually use the water to water trees and plants. And so there's other considerations from the Conservation Advisory Council's perspective that we'd like the committee to consider. And the other thing is the economy of scale could be better achieved if there's somebody contracted to do an entire block at a time or over the summer, four different blocks, whatever it is. So that's all I wanted to bring up at this time. Thank you.
Vicki?
Hillary?
Margaret, hold on, sorry. Vicki had her hand
up. I just wanted to say that in theory, this all sounds great, but the city, I think, is backed up with projects from what I hear from Rob and DPW. And I mean, we also have so much to do with the waterfront, you know, and that is to me enormous to just redo in the level that Hillary is mentioning. The whole city. It will take years, and I really don't think it will be done the next few years. So I suggest to have the letters out and just people to fix whatever they can fix, and then we'll figure it out how we're going to, you know, implement it.
Yeah, there's there's got to be some wisdom of Solomon in the decision, right? Like, we can't kick the can down the road for anybody else or delay it because it's a project the city would undertake and that would fall under DPW. And then that goes into the list and prioritization of projects, which, you know, in terms of sidewalks or lead remediation of water mains and making sure that sewer and water mains themselves are being replaced and working, those take priority over the sidewalk in so many ways, because one could argue that you need clean drinking water over the ability to walk down a sidewalk.
Exactly. And the other thing, Ryan, is I really think that it would also cost a lot more the homeowner if a city takes it over and charges them on their taxes. So I don't know how they're going to charge the homeowners versus somebody getting a local guy and just repairing it as much as they can. So at least they pass, you know.
Right. I guess that's the question for us to consider, right? Is that while the law is being debated in terms of anything of a project or an economy of scale, do we give property owners the ability to
choose,
hire their own person, go out and just get it done, and then they don't have to worry about it, right? I mean, to be frank, I am that person where if it's on my to-do list, I will go out and figure out, even if I've got a difficult time trying to find a contractor, as Mr. McKay was saying. You know, but I would go that path versus having to wait, because then at least I know it would be done. That said, I think we can also look to areas on more of the high traffic locations, and in particular, anywhere that there are the requisite dips that are much more water collective, that the city could probably prioritize to be in line with what Hillary is saying. Because, you know, I think of that area near the Pocketbook Factory where you go down North 6th Street in particular, and I know that there are a couple of residents that have frequent flooding of their homes when we get days and days of rain. That could be an effective place to start looking into and saying, okay, anybody here, instead of remediating with XYZ materials, we're going to request that you do these materials. Crystal, I guess I would look to you in terms of how would we, if at all, if we were
I'm sorry, Ryan, I'd like to respond to Hillary.
Can I finish my question, please, Margaret, first?
Yeah.
Thank you. So, Crystal, my question to you would be, is there any capability in, if we were to, the cost of materials for things that Hillary is looking toward are arguably a little bit more costly than going out and just getting traditional concrete and slapping it down. Is there some sort of tax incentivization that we would be able to pass along to the homeowners if they used the more renewable materials and went forward and got them fixed themselves, versus somebody like me that would do like a concrete for whatever reason?
It's a really good question. When you're talking about tax incentives like that, I'd have to take a look at it, because if you're there's been a lot of discussion here, and I'll just to jump in real quick. The last documents I have on this is that the council or the committee was looking at a potential taxing district. Now, I know you guys have a provision on the books about making it the property owner's responsibility,
right,
and a chargeable cost to the, I mean, they've got to fix it. If they don't fix it, there is an enforcement mechanism on your books. So if you're going down that route, Ryan, and you're talking about if there's a way to make it an incentive, if they're going to be putting in, say, green infrastructure.
Right.
I have to take a look to see how that tax incentive would work when you're not technically in a taxing district, but you're going to be incentivizing people to essentially use. It's the same thing as having someone use, you know, solar and green infrastructure on new developments. Right. It's much easier to implement those incentives because you're typically doing it through the planning board routes. So I have to look. I don't know, but I will look at that question.
Take a look, because Hillary, what are the green points that we get again as a municipality? Because I wonder if that would also help toward those. But Linda, what were you saying?
Climate smart.
Yeah, but I wonder if that might be more climate smart initiatives then too.
I don't know what they are, but I'm taking notes to get back to you on that.
Awesome. Margaret, go ahead. I'm sorry. And yes,
so, Hillary, I'm sorry. While I was trying to reconnect, did we decide that Dominic was the chair of this committee?
Yes.
Okay. So, Dominic, I just wanted to respond to Hillary. Hillary, I think your idea of having a uniform approach is really interesting. This is our first meeting of the current council. And so we need to take some of these ideas back and digest them and try to come up with a plan. Something that I could envision based on what you're suggesting is if the city comes up with a plan that they're going to redo, you know, maybe the side, my neighbor's sidewalk is fine, mine is not fine, it needs to be redone. They're going to come up with a general cost of, you know, for the linear feet on my sidewalk and so forth, that they would just charge that back. It's kind of like the New York City model. And they would charge that back to me and say, the cost for doing your sidewalk is going to be X dollars, and this is what you're going to pay. Neighbor two doors down might be, because I'm on a corner, they might be paying 20% of that or whatever. But I think your idea of having something that is uniform is very interesting, and it's something that we really need to take back and think about.
So I know we're running out of time here, so unfortunately probably won't be able to get all the comments at this point, but I think that a couple of the things I think for the next meeting would be, you know, hopefully, you know, getting a grasp on when the water bill goes out. And, you know, even if we send something out about public awareness about what's next stage that we're working on here in the committee. But, you know, my thought also, you know, is what's your committee's thought on maybe changing the meeting times to maybe 5:15, give us a little bit more time so we're not pressured into the formal meeting for the next meeting. Any objections?
Dominic, that's what I was just going to bring up in the last minute or two. Would you rather move it earlier to or on the second Monday of the month at 5:30 or at 6, either time?
I mean, I like it before the formal because we're here anyway. So even if we move it to 5 o'clock, then, you know, we're here already going into the formal.
Okay.
If everybody agrees with that.
So, Dominic, the only issue I have with that is that the formal used to be at 7, so that people could eat before the formal. The formal now goes on for an hour and a half, 2 hours. So if we're now going to start at 5 o'clock, that means there's people who have a break between 4:30 and 8 o'clock. So I think that's a problem.
Okay, so
Dominic, I hate to interrupt you, but we could do this offline, come up with a time, okay?
Okay.
But we'll definitely change it.
Can I get a motion to adjourn?
Yes.
Okay, I'll see everybody in about, in a minute.